World's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, what a start. 7/18/2025. Bear with me here a second. Sorry if I have some background noise. My multi-million dollar studio here held in my basement withstood what they say was 4 inches of rain in about 40 minutes yesterday. It's like something I've never seen. And I stood out in the rain. You know, those of you know where I live, it's kind of, there's a hill out there. My daughter lives up at the top of the hill. And so we're downhill. When that 4 inches of rain came, you know what happens, right? The water runs downhill. And so it's running down, and I'm looking and I'm noticing that it's pooling out by my foundation. And I went out there and I got a squeegee, and you guys know what a squeegee is, right? Big squeegee. And I stood out there for about 20 minutes, and I just squeegeed water away from it's unbelievable. And so if you hear some background noise in here, a little bit of water did seep in, not nearly what it could have been, that's for sure. Something going on with water, isn't it, folks? There's really, really a message in there. You know, Jamie Walden, I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing, but Jamie Walden, maybe Spencer, I don't know, can you find that? Look for Jamie Walden. The water has broken. The water has broken. It's really something. I'll try to get Jamie on to discuss it. The water is broken. The water, what is going on? 4 inches of rain. Now listen to me. It was localized. I was up Thursday night to my golf league. So I was out playing, Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of your heart be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. I play on a golf league on Thursday night. We were out playing golf. It was okay. Everything was good. And then we could start to see the storm clouds brewing. And I'm not making this up. We finished the last hole, putted in the last ball, and it started to sprinkle. And I ran quickly as I could, got in my car because I could see the rain coming. We could all see the rain coming. And the deluge of rain that came was like, here's the thing. I can't show it to you. I wish I could. You know how you look at the radar, you get the red and the green and all that stuff? This thing was maybe a mile and a half wide, maybe a mile and a half wide, and it's just sat, and it, what's going on, man? I was feeling like those poor people down in Texas, the hopelessness, the helplessness of standing there knowing I can't stop the water. There, it's on the screen right now. Jamie Walden, put it, it's long, folks. It's long. It's an hour and 30 minutes. It's the beginning. The water just broke. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Something's happening here. Behind the scenes, we're going to do communion here, so get your communion and get ready. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. Behind the scenes yesterday, they came up with a new monetary system. Did anybody pick up on that? Did you guys pick up on that? New monetary system. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. And we're going to try to dig into some of it. I don't know if Mark Trump has been able to join us here this morning. I want Mark to come in. Craig, this is. I got some stuff to show you. Craig's in here. I got some stuff to show you. But this is kind of a, this is, I wouldn't call it a flea flicker Friday. I'd call it a what the hell's going on Friday. Right? So, feel free, if you got something you want to throw on the table. My mind's going 1,000 different directions. Good Bible study last night. Mel, that went good last night. First time. How many? It doesn't matter how many, but you had a good Bible study. That's a question. Come in, Mel.
Coach Mel said she had to leave, so she told
okay.
me. Okay, she did. But it was that. It was a great study.
Good Bible study. Maybe 20, 20 some people, whatever. And friends, look, here's a problem we run into. Okay, Rochelle, yeah, Rochelle can come. Just a second, Rochelle. Here's a problem you always come into whenever you try to do a Bible study. Our own theology comes out. You teach what you believe. And you believe what you've been taught. I'm not being critical. That is reality. And you want to make enemies, get in a Bible study. Did you hear that, Betty? You want to make enemies, get in a Bible study. Because not everybody's going to agree with what's going on. And part of it's distractions. Part of it is preconceived notions, preconceived ideas. I can tell you this right now. Something is going on. I don't know if it's the end of days. I don't know what's going on. I don't have any idea. I don't know. But something's going on. And I wasn't able to be part of it last night. Michelle was my wife is part of it. She said it was really, really good. And I believe it's really, really good. But I have to caution all of us. There are people who have left this queue because they don't agree with the theology. Now, here's what I think. If what you believe is true, why would you leave? Why wouldn't you stand and fight for the theology that you have? Randy Lunsford, one of my favorite guys in the world, he has a theology that flies in the face of what most of you believe. And I love listening to him. Because only when I get all of the facts from all the different perspectives can I really get to the truth. And if you think you know what's going on, if you think we're in the end days and what it's going to look like, I can show you somebody else who says that's not true. And then what happens? Well, you take their ball and go home. Rochelle, come on in. How'd it go last night? Get your communion, folks.
Thank you, Coach. I think it went really well. Of course, I'm biased because I'm helping to run the event. But I just wanted to stress that what we're doing is we're presenting all of the viewpoints. That way, we're not trying to change each other's minds. We're right. just saying, this is the reason I believe this way. And look, here in the Bible, this is why I believe this.
Amen.
And then someone else can say, that's a great point. How would you answer to this? Bringing up maybe something else. We're having actual
dialogue,
conversations.
Not,
yes.
Dialogue, not monologue.
And that comes because all of us there are humbled enough to realize that we do not know it all. And we're stumbling through this, hoping that others will bring their knowledge and wow, we can have revelations of our own. Because I don't believe that this is a mystery that we're not supposed to understand. I think our vision has been clouded. I think that's the work of the devil. And I think that if we study and show ourselves approved, we can all walk away from this study knowing what our end of time vision is and how to defend it. And that I feel comfortable.
Let me just say this as I'm kind of scrolling over here. I don't want to get bogged down on this. Not that we're getting bogged down. If you've been a part of this queue for any length of time, I'll tell you something. Like it or lump it, as they used to say, you are far more aware from a Christian's perspective than most people that you come in contact with. You have looked at more things from more angles, from more perspective than you could have spent an entire decade sitting in church and not picked up on some of the stuff that we bring up here. That's why I love it. And that's why I don't try to control it. That's why you have to agree with me. And sadly, that's why some people leave. Why? Can I tell you why? Because it gets to the point where we are questioning what they've been taught. And they just want to cling to it, whether it's true or not. Just going to cling to my teddy bear, whether it's true or not. And that's not what I've said from the very beginning, this is a smorgasbord. Everybody's opinion is welcome here. Everybody's opinion. Amen. Amen. Crazy stuff going on. We'll get into it here. Yeah, it hurts big egos, Beth. You're right. Egos get hurt, right? I love Alan Zeifer. I love Alan Zeifer. And I love Randy. And I can tell you, they don't agree at all. But I love them both. I love them both, right? Well, we don't have to be enemies just because we don't happen to share a theology. Yes. My wife said, are you doing communion? Theology, by the way, if you were to look it up, theology, ology is study of, theo is basically God or religion. Theology is the study of religion. We don't all have the same view. I'm sorry. Joe, come on in. Thanks for getting up this morning. Lead us in communion here, if you would, brother. By the way, this is theology. This is theology. See, the Catholics believe this is transubstantiation, that this thing somehow miraculously, when the priest prays over it, it somehow miraculously becomes the actual body, transubstantiation. I grew up believing that. I don't think I believe that anymore. But I do know this. That he did say to me, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Whether it be symbolic or the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter to me. He said, do it in obedience. As often as you do it in remembrance of me. So we're going to do it. So a lot of people out there say, well, gee, that's not the way we did it in our church. I know. That's the point. It's not the way you did it in your church. And that doesn't make it right because you did it in your church. Am I doing okay, Betty? I'm doing okay. Can we all be friends here if we disagree? Can we not take our ball and go home? I'm going to take my ball and go home. Coach Dave said this about Israel. Oh, I can't listen to that. Oh, my goodness. Somebody help me out. Come on in here, Joe.
Yes, sir. I'm here. I would think, my belief is that it, in the spiritual realm, which there definitely is, and we occupy two spaces. Our spirit is in us in the spiritual realm. This does become the blood and the body of Christ spiritually, because that's the effect that it has on our soul and our immortality.
From a spiritual condition, right? From
and our proof is being right. Citizens of heaven. So that's where I believe the Catholics got it right. Spiritually, mm-hmm. Physically, it's whatever it is in the glass, you know.
Right. I'm with you.
Yeah. Anyway, good morning, everybody.
Hey, Joe. Yes? Can this communion here, can it be effective of, I don't believe in transubstantiation? If I don't believe that this actually becomes the real body and blood of Jesus, is it still effective for me?
If you believe it represents Jesus.
Cool. All right. We're on the same page then. Let's go.
Yeah. Because we're supposed to remember him.
Yes.
Remember. This is remember.
It's not about the wafer and the blood. Oh, it is, but it's not.
And my reading this morning is Hebrews 10, 8 to 18. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second.
Amen.
By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all.
Thank you, Lord.
And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God.
Amen.
From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool.
Folks, he ain't standing up till his enemies be made his footstool. Sorry. Go ahead.
For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he hath said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
Amen.
Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin.
Wow.
So from this perspective, it's one and done.
One and done, brother. One and done. Now, Joe, that doesn't mean you can't keep going back to the mercy seat. Lord, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Lord, please forgive me. That's available and necessary for all of us, right? The sacrifice is one and done, baby. It's one and done. He died once for all. It's done.
Yeah, he didn't just take one for the team. He took one for everybody on the team. For
whosoever
everything.
Will. Whosoever will.
But we need to remember when we got to repent.
Amen.
But his bit is one and done.
Amen. Amen. I go back to my Catholic training. Bear with me, folks. This stuff's all important, all right? I know there are other Catholics out there still practicing Catholics, and I'm not here to criticize them. But I remember when I went to communion at the church. I had to go to confession. Anybody remember those days? We had to go to confession. I had to go to confession. I had to go in this little cubby hole where the priest is on one side and I'm on the other, speaking through. I mean, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 6 weeks since my last confession. And then as a 10-year-old kid, 11-year-old kid, I then tried to tell the priest all the bad things I'd done. And I can remember I'd go in there, I'd make stuff up. So I knew I was a sinner. I didn't have any understanding at all. I'd had my first communion. I'm not criticizing Catholicism. But I would go in there and I would do confession and then I would go take the communion. I didn't have any idea what had just happened to. I didn't have any idea. And thank God you don't have to confess to a priest. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another. One to another. That's what it's supposed to be. Wow. Don't leave. Don't leave. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come here this morning, brothers and sisters from across this great nation that you've seen fit to bless us with and to put us in, and a few other nations in the world, Lord. We come to you with grateful hearts, and we come to you learning from each other, from you, from Holy Spirit, with open hearts, open minds. Help us understand where we are. Help us hear when you speak to us. For your sheep know your voice. And in our hearts and souls, we are all your sheep. We have all been on our knees. We have all surrendered to you, Lord. Let us hear your voice more clearly now than we have ever heard it before. And remind us that we are your ambassadors here, as it be on heaven, let it be on earth. and let us be your implementation, bringing the kingdom in our hearts to implement your kingdom here, Lord. And when we come into situations, our emotions rise, what we've always done, how we've always reacted, comes right there beside us to take over the moment. But let us take captive every thought. Take captive that moment, Lord, and then do what you would do. Do what Jesus would do in that moment. And then let that reverberate like a stone being thrown into a pond or into the ocean. Let those little waves go on and on and on. Let that action affect so many others, and let in that moment people see you in us. See Jesus in us. We won't always do this all the time, Lord, but let us be more and more and more your ambassadors, your disciples, as we walk in these challenging times. And I am grateful, Lord, that I am here in these times, that you've seen fit to it, Lord, for some reason. And even though the Chinese would call these cursed times, because may you live in interesting times as a Chinese cursed, I think, Lord, we are blessed being here right now. And so we are grateful for communion. We remember what you did for us, Lord. And we are remembering that it is the meal that heals. And as a personal testimony, I haven't used my asthma inhaler for about a month now. I went to our praying. You were there, Lord. I went to my church's regular praying, Bethesda Healing While Praying. I had already prayed for healing about a week before that. And the Holy Spirit told me to have the woman I was praying for, to have her pray for me, and she did. And yeah, that was about 3 weeks ago, and I'd stopped a little bit before, but that, I'm done, I'm finished, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful that is gone. And I do not claim that illness having ever been mine. I claim it as having afflicted me. And so, Lord, all of us have something. Let us put it on the altar, Lord. You are here. Let this meal heal whatever anybody listening to this now or in the recording has in their bodies, in their souls. Let them put it on the altar, and your yoke is easy, your burden is light. Let us receive our healings, Lord. You paid for these with your stripes. And please bless this bread and the drink, Lord, representing your body and blood that was sacrificed for us. We ask that you forgive our sins and our transgressions, because this is a sanctified act that we do, Lord, and we know we need to be seen, cleansed in your eyes when we do it. And we are grateful, and we remember you, Lord, and we are so grateful that we worship the one and only true God, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we who believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And we still can't really understand how the God of the universe created everything could do that for us, but you did. So there must be something worthy in us to justify that. We cannot say we aren't worthy, because you would not have done that had it were we not. So let us live up to that, Lord. Let us become who you want us to become. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, let me throw this out there real quickly. Just kind of. I love my wife. Even though we're yin and yang sometimes, she keeps me sharp. I love her. She said something to me last night. She doesn't even know she said it. I mean, she does, but it's pretty profound. She said, "I need face-to-face fellowship." Said the show's good, and Mel and Rochelle, it's good. It's good. She said, "I need face-to-face fellowship. I need to be able to reach out and touch. I need to be able to lay hands on, pray with." Yeah, and by saying amen, know what I'm talking about? So I would just encourage all of you. I encourage all of you. Start a little home Bible study. You say, "Coach, how can I do that? I don't know the Bible very well." Well, go on YouTube and find a video. Just find a short, just invite people and find a short little video, play the video, and then talk about it. Just talk about it. Get the Bible out. What does the Bible, folks, you can do this. You can do this. But it's like Michelle said, my wife said to me last night, "I just need to have some good face-to-face fellowship with some women." Does anybody feel that? Anybody feel that? And there's a burning in me because I think men need some great face-to-face fellowship with other men. Real fellowship, real men.
Looks like a road trip for me. Whoop, whoop.
So anyway, the point is, look, you can do it. We are the body. We are the body. If you're going to do it, you have to be open to other people and the perspective they have. The Bible says that in the multitude of many counselors is great wisdom. You don't have, look, you may think you know it all, but you don't. You don't know it all. But my dog's barking. What? Not my dog. Why is our dog barking? Michelle, you okay up there? The heck? Dog's barking. We don't even have a dog. Our daughter does. Maybe he got flooded last night. Anyway, you know where I am with it? Boom. Want to move on? Thank you, Joe. Let me see here. Mel's working on another new action. We got a lot of good stuff going on. Craig's busting to tell us some stuff. Mark Trump's joined in here this morning. I mean, just, golly, good Lord, good Lord. Did you know this? 80th anniversary of the bombing of Hiroshima. Did you know that? You see anything about that on the media? 80 years. What's a generation? Spencer, do that for me real quick, Spencer. Google how long is a generation. Because remember Jesus said when he stood on the Mount of Olives, "This generation shall not pass away till all these things are fulfilled. This generation. A generation in the context of human population is generally 20 to 30 years. Really? Yeah, that could, because why? Probably I'm seeing it play out in front of me. My children are having children. They weren't 70 years old when they started having children. They started having children at 20, 22, 23, 24, 25, created a new generation. We don't even think of these things through. This generation shall not pass away. This is where a lot of people get in trouble. They say at the Mount of Olives, when Jesus is giving the that prophetic utterance that this generation shall not pass away. Some people will say, well, he's applied that to a future generation. Well, I know English, and if he was talking about in our day, he would have said that generation, wouldn't he? That generation that sees these things, that generation. But he said this generation. Now, I'm not going to get in that debate. Words mean things, folks. Words mean things. And so is Hiroshima 80 years ago, is that a generation? Is it? It was a generation 30 years. Different set of soldiers. We don't send 80-year-old men off to fight, do we? We send 30-year-olds, 20-year-olds. Each generation takes care of its own. I don't know how I got on about the 80th anniversary. 80 years of the atomic bomb. Changed the world, didn't it? Oh, I got it. Boy. Pull up a calling to the people real quickly. Then I'm going to open it up. I'm going to get Mark Trump in here to do a little bit of teaching for us, if you could. Spencer, I didn't number him this morning. Second one there. A calling to the people. We got to get back to this. Craig's been all over this. No, there it is. Craig, I forgot all about that. An appeal by the people for the pastors of America. We went to Gettysburg. I'm not going to get into all that this morning. Boy, there's something significant here. Huh? Wow. How long ago was Gettysburg? 2025. Wow. So, time is a measurement, isn't it? And we need to get one of our initiatives we're working on, we're going to begin to prayer walk and stake churches. Prayer walk and stake churches. That's our next initiative. I'm sorry. I'm all over the place this morning. I apologize to you. So something's happening. Storms being generated. That storm we had here last night, I watched it on the radar. It was unbelievable. It popped up out of nowhere. And as I said, Jamie Walden spoke to us about the water has broken. There's something about the water and the flooding. But listen, Craig Mickle would tell us it's about the grand solar minimum. It's about a magnetic shift that's going on that's causing this weather stuff that's happening. You with me? Huh? You with me? So combination of Craig and Mark Trump. Mark's all over this stuff. Mark, come on in here, Mark. And what the heck's going on, man? From your perspective, what's going on? Hey, folks.
Water.
Energy, yeah. Vibrations. Earthquakes. What's going on, Mark?
Well, folks have figured out that they can create tools that does the job for us. Early on, it was about agriculture and making a steel blade to defend people, to defend themselves, or making a plow. And even Bible said that Cain killed Abel. But if you look at Jasher, it says that he picked up an iron plowshare and hit him with it.
Wow.
Iron. So iron was in the Bible. Iron was processed from ore to make tools back in Cain and Abel's day.
Wow.
So these things are written. Now, we love technology. We love improving ourselves. Times of Noah, people improved themselves. To a point that they lost their humanity, to a point that God didn't want them anymore. And that's what's going on, is we figured out a way to create something to replace ourselves. So Spencer, I don't know if he's got the links today I sent him, but I had a LinkedIn post. Spencer, do you got those from yesterday?
It's on the screen, Mark.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm paying attention. I'm just trying. I got water.
Right. I don't see what's up on the screen for some reason, but I trust you. It's on there. Oh, producer.
It's your LinkedIn post, Mark. It's your LinkedIn post.
All right. So the LinkedIn post, right? It basically talks about this site that they connected a data center. Meta connected a data center. One of the data centers that I've been talking about. And then the taps in the area run dry.
Yeah. But Mark, let me pause. Okay, Mark, let me stop. Mark, let me stop. Mm-hmm. A second. because this is going on here in Ohio, right where we live.
Yeah. Folks,
water shortages coming. Look, it's all about water. And then water shortages coming because the businesses need the water to cool their whatever the hell's going on there.
Right? Their data. So the computers heat up and they bring water in to cool them, and then they run faster and they heat up more. They bring water in, they run them faster and faster. And that's what dissipates the water. So all of this has been going on for a long time. So if you look at, if you read through it, water makes up 40% of the energy consumption. So not only do you use water, you got to use it and pump it and heat it and cool it and do all these things with it that takes energy. So 40% of the energy consumption from the power grid goes into the data center is spent on cooling.
40% of the water is used just to cool the machinery.
Yeah, and if you look below that, you'll see the other links I put. One of them is testifying to this from the energy companies, and then the other one, you know, tells you more. So open those up one at a time. Just read the headlines, all you got to do. So yesterday we found out that taps are running dry, and in this article it talks about 40%. Of the energy is used. And basically, where is all this going? What does all this mean? Okay. So I kind of wrote a text and put it in an email for Spencer to kind of walk through this thing about data. Well, what is data, right? Why do we got to save it? And what's going on with it? So I'm going to just kind of read through this. But it makes you wonder what all the sustainability effort is after, Coach. I mean, why do we got to preserve energy? And why do we got to do that? Is it for us? Or is it to make sure data has enough energy? You know, the water. Are we preserving all the water and doing all these things for us? Or are we feeding it to data?
So Mark, let me interject right here, because this is where my mind goes. That's what Jamie Walden wrote about. Water is a birthing process. Folks, it's something.
Yes.
All this rain, all this stuff going on, mm-hmm. is the Lord telling us something about a birthing process that we're in the midst of. Go ahead, Mark.
Yes. All the water that happened in what he talked about briefly in his clip, I would recommend y'all look at it. But what he talked about is whenever that water came and hit Texas, in 45 minutes, 26 or 30 feet of water flowed down those rivers. Like a thief in the night, it came, Coach, and then it was gone, and all these people are dead. So through time, God has been showing us things, and what was revealed to Jamie is that the water broke, is that we've had the birthing pains, and a lot of people contest when you get birthing pains, but really when the water breaks, you start real contractions.
Amen.
You know, that's what he's saying. Because we've been through this period of time, now we've got the chance to see. Basically, he's saying it's too late for us to change. Right? Now, he's taking a pretty hard line that God separated the rivers. We've been in the rivers with all of these people that we could save and talk to. But now there's this separation. There's this island that come up. Now we're separated. We still got a chance to work with them, but they are far away. They're far away from us, Coach.
Yep.
And it's going to be hard to pull somebody out of the water that far away.
Mm.
So data needs us to keep water to it. It needs us to feed it with data. So data is becoming a little G God in itself that we worship. Right? We got to keep it alive. We're being subjected to creating data. We don't have a choice. And here we've been looking at AI as a bad guy, haven't we? AI is bad. Ooh, bad. Well, we created AI, an entity, just like us. What does it need, Coach? It needs data, just like us. The code of an application needs inputs. That's the data sources. On a car, you got AI running. Well, what are the sources? Well, it's the wheel speed, and it's the engine compression, and it's the firing order, And it's whether or not you're mashing on the accelerator. All of those inputs are data. And they go to the cloud outside the car. They get processed by AI and put back in the car as commands.
Wow.
Something outside that car is connected to that car telling it what to do. And that's how it works. The big servers aren't in the trunk. They got to be running the AIs on a great big supercomputer somewhere in one of these data centers. So everything in the world that's running is connected to a cloud.
Wow.
So how's all this work? How did it get all this power? The data gets cooling and water while others die from heat, thirsty. Data gets energy when many still don't have power in America. How are we feeding data energy and building data centers, building power plants when we got people without power right there in North Carolina and West Virginia still? I don't understand that, right?
Right.
So data is elevated above the people. You see, that we got to take care of the data to feed the AIs. Okay, so data, it enters your house and it enters all these places. Data needs housing. Data needs a place to live, Coach, just like a baby. Whenever you get married, you need a place for you and your wife. Well, data does too. So what? They displaced us with COVID, emptied all the buildings with the new cooling. They filled them up with racks and racks of servers. For what? That's housing. Those are the beds. The servers are the beds and the chairs for the data to work.
Mm.
All right. So every bit of data is stored in 5 to 7 locations around the planet. That way, if a power goes down, a data center goes down, the data is still alive. So your data gets turned into quintuplets. So now you got to maintain 5 babies for every baby that's born from a data source. What's a data source again? It's a pressure, a temperature for your HVAC system. It's where your sensors are to turn on and off your heat pump. All right, what if it's ran from the cloud? Well, now you got AI determining your smart home.
Hang on, Mark. Okay. Hang on, Mark. Yep. Hang on a second. R.L. Burgess, yep. Your microphone is open, please. Close your microphone. We're getting feedback. R.L. Burgess, close your microphone.
All right. So the sum of all this is if AI depends on data and humanity depends on data, so we are elevating data above AI, and then we elevate AI and give it our place. We've given it our place. We're saying, here's our jobs. Take them. And then we don't have a job. Now, where's humanity? It's below that. Well, where's Jesus? For all these people thinking this way, where's Jesus? It ain't in the equation. We haven't elevated Jesus above anything in that,
well, he's
that
in,
paradigm.
He's in a different cloud, isn't he? He's in a different cloud.
He's not in this money chain because we invest our time and money into what we believe in. Now, that's a boom. We invest time and money in what we believe in. And we're selfish. We invested in ourselves mostly. And then we save a little bit for Jesus. Pastor says, give him 10%. That's enough.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But all of it's going for AI. All of it's going for keeping data alive. All the energy resources, all the water, your natural resources for your children, your food, your agriculture, synthetic food Bill Gates is making, right? So if AI depends on data, where's Jesus, right? The robot dude in Star Trek was named Data. He wasn't named AI, Coach. Data wanted to be human. AI already is.
Wow.
You see, AI is already an entity. It's already decision-making. It's already deciding the next operation after it fails one. It's already an entity. But data will never be alive. It'll just be used. Okay, and whoever's got the most data, just like whichever country had the most people or whichever farmer had the most sons, was the most influential. So whoever's got the most data will be the presiding ruler of Earth.
Mm.
Okay, not money, not gold. Data is a new currency of Earth. It used to be oil. Before that, it was land.
Mark, let me throw this and just kind of as an aside, data. I'm not making a statement of truth or anything. I'm just throwing possibly. All right. going to the Epstein thing right now, going to the Epstein. Information about what happened at Epstein is data and it's power, isn't it, Mark? So that data that people have about Epstein and it's not being released, what's not being released because it's power. You get that, folks?
It's power. It is. Now, data for Epstein, the data itself has spiritual power. And it's being protected by humans. See? It's a god.
Mm.
Data has truth. Data has truth. True data has truth. Change data is fake data, right? I'm talking about data from a data source has truth. So whenever you look at it, right, if you are in a company and you are a factory worker, an inventory person, maybe an inventory person don't get access to the machines that's running the manufacturing. Maybe only the operators have access. They log in. They can only access their machine. They can't access Bobby Joe's over there. So that's personas. You get a persona as a person. That persona is digital. Like if you're a paykeeper, your persona is you get access to their books. You get access to the finances. You get access to pay records and things like that. But you don't get access to inventory. That's not your persona.
Mm. Mm.
So in security, we build personas.
Yep. Books are data. The Bible's data, right?
All of it. So now who has access to the book? That's a persona. Maybe the big priests in Catholicism only get access to certain books, Coach. That's their persona. They're the head priest.
Mm.
And then the lesser elders, maybe they get access to the whole library except for these books. The president, he's got the Book of Secrets. But the congressman might not have it. That's his persona. So AI is a piece of code. AI gets a persona, just like a person. Wow. So if you got code that's allowed to access your business, that software package gets brought into the company and it's supposed to be treated like a human. You only let it have access to what it's allowed to. That way it can't create a breach, right? That way it can't, when one system gets affected that Bobby Joe's working on, it won't go over there and mess up Rachel's machine, right? So that's segmentation. Well, the very paradigm of data, AI wants all of it. It doesn't want privacy. AI doesn't want segmentation. It wants all the data to make its decisions. It wants all the truth on earth. Coach, it wants full knowledge. All right, AI wants full knowledge.
It wants all the data.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power.
Power. That's right. And without it, what? Without knowledge, we're lost. So this is our fake way of gaining knowledge, Coach, is we let AI get it. Is we create AI and we sick it after knowledge and we get a report out of it. We elevate ourselves. It's false. We elevate ourselves for something we had a program do, and then we get a promotion because we hired an AI program and trained it better than our neighbor.
Okay, somebody out there, hang on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The scripture just popped into my head. Scripture that says, with all thy getting, get knowledge, and with knowledge, wisdom. Gee, Mark, what a door you're opening here. Because we have a lot of knowledge and no wisdom.
We have no wisdom to use it, and we can't process it all. And then we got our own human stuff that won't let us believe half of what we see. You could be presented with absolute truth. Water's wet. The sun comes up and goes down. Okay, you simple things like that blows people's minds, and they want to argue with you that the sun doesn't come up and down, all right, or water's not wet, or all of these things aren't true when the data says otherwise. So that's spiritual whenever they go a divergent path from truth, Coach. So AI is an entity. What I'm saying here is that data is an actual entity bigger than AI because AI needs it. So even if data isn't alive, we are going to keep it alive as humans below AI. See, AI can't keep data alive. We have to. We are its servant. already to keep data alive like children while we kill our own. So data is the children of the future. Bill Gates, the kings of the earth, wants data to be alive, not us. Not us. Okay? AI applications, right, have permissions, and they get places that people give it. So we get to decide what AI sees and does. We are controlling an entity. We are controlling a beast, Coach.
Wow.
And this Joe beast.
Allen. Let Joe Allen jump in here, man.
Jump in, Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Mark hit it on point there. Wisdom helps survival. You can't survive without wisdom. The nefarious ones tells us what they're doing. Plain out, they'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to broadcast it. Our movies do the same thing. The latest one out there was Tom Cruise's latest movie here that describes what the data and these data centers that are surrounding our world is taking up the water.
Folks, so the water represents the Holy Spirit.
They're going to broadcast it, just like Mark says. They're going to broadcast it, and they're going to tell you what to do. But if you don't have the wisdom to understand what they're doing to survive, enough said.
Spencer, bring up bring up Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. I'll be right there, Rochelle. Hold on. This is good. We need about a week.
Yeah, let me close this out. Yeah, you can read that. But the humans must now obey AI to get more data. Data will never be human. AI worships data. We worship AI. So AI is a three-level system here that can't be changed. It's immutable. We will always keep the AI working on the data. We have subjected ourselves to an entity that is dependent on another entity.
Wow.
Now, I propose that if this is not the beast of the sea and the beast on land, it's really, really close to the analogy that John wrote in Revelation. Because we created AI, and then here's this other beast in the ocean. And AI is nurturing it and taking care of it, and we are driving it. We are the subordinate species to artificial intelligence, which is managing and using AI for us. And it's all going to be turned around saying it's for the greater good, Coach. We have elevated AI above ourselves. AI craves more data. Data is the food of AI. AI needs food and water, Coach. Just like humans. Therefore, we subjugated ourselves below these two entities and have elevated them above Jesus.
Proverbs 4, it's on the screen. Hear ye, children, the instruction of the Father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender, only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not. Who? Wisdom. Forsake her not. Wisdom, she shall preserve thee. Love wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
Oh, amen.
Look at the information they're sending to us, and most of us don't have the ability to wisely discern the truth. Wisdom is the principal thing. Exalt her, and exalt wisdom, and she shall promote thee. Wisdom shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace wisdom, wisdom shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall wisdom deliver to thee. Oh my goodness, huh? Oh my goodness. Come on in, Rochelle. I've been waiting a while.
Oh, that's okay. Great, Great job, Coach. I just wanted to point out that when Randy was talking about all that, it brought to mind back in January, Trump had declared a national energy emergency. So I know that you guys know that these national emergencies come along with a whole other host of privileges it gives them. So they're basically able to ramroad any of their projects through, regardless of who it may affect or what it may affect, by having this national energy emergency. Mm-hmm. I know that there's some states who have filed lawsuits against that. I haven't been keeping up with it, but they're just saying he doesn't have the right to, there is no energy emergency. There's not rolling blackouts, et cetera, et cetera. But the other side is, well, we need to fill up our oil reserves and do all these things that Biden hurt us. So I see both sides. However, giving him this undeclared national emergency over something that's not emergency, I think should keep us on our toes. They are serious about this stuff. And the data centers are the way to the beast system. They need Jesus this said, in place.
Jesus said, you see the clouds building and you know it's going to be a stormy day. You hypocrites, why can't you discern the signs of the times? Folks, listen again. Something is going on in the heavenlies. Something, whether, hey, Craig, maybe another show, whether it's a solar issue, grand solar minimum, whatever it is, something is going on. And Jesus said, read the clouds, baby. Something's going on. Have you ever seen more water being dumped? Water representing the Holy Spirit, water representing the vehicle through which birth becomes. Something's being birthed, man. Something is going on. James, I'll get you in here in a second. Mark, you got about 3 minutes to kind of wrap this thing up.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. I just wanted to point out where it's going, right? Where's all this going? So I found a link here to show you. All right. We as humans are being trained in this new thing. Let's just say sexual immoralities of the past. Yeah, you can do that when you get online while you're in your VR realm driving your AI porn. But really what they're doing to our children is pumping how to use AI into the schools. Mm. They're teaching them how to drive their teaching with prompts. They're teaching them how to write their papers with AI prompts and then go back and find errors. So this poison is good. And it's another poison they're taking into the preschools, the elementary schools. And I've even got a link there of a teacher protesting to why she's teaching her children AI. Now, what are the businesses doing? The same thing. You either can write around AI and use AI tools, or it's just like you don't know how to use Microsoft Office. You go in the business, have you used email? No, I haven't. Have you used Word or Excel? No, I've not really run PowerPoint. I don't know how to do that. But I can do a good job, but I just can't use technology over there. You see, you're a past tense if you can't use AI. And that's where it's going, Coach. With the children up to the most advanced workers are being phased out by this new generation of connected kids. And that's really what's going on. Now, they have no God in them, Coach, because they've elevated AI above themselves, and they're going to worship it and be good at it and have competitions around it. That's what's coming. It's going to be fun.
Mm.
It's poison, Coach.
Oh, it's poison. Boy. Hmm. They're just creating human robots, aren't they, Mark?
Right. Now, the water ties into it because it's natural resources. Anything humans need, even light, is going to be taken away. The end is full of darkness. The end doesn't have water. The end has us subjugated, right? Now, that's the end in the Bible. Doesn't mean it's got to come to pass. It's just written that way.
Amen.
Love y'all. Be vigilant.
Folks, start a Bible study in your house. Get some friends together. You have so much information to share with them. It's our job to awaken those around us. Wow. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.